5 sisters and 2 boys. And our family belongs to the Muslim family. And my father was Imam. He was the one who was reading at the mosque. So, as children born in the Muslim family, we are instructed to follow whatever our parents instructed us to do so. It was so amazing because all my sisters were married with men from Christianity. So all my sisters gone to Christianity. Except me, because my elder brother, on that time, he was at the military base. So as the only son who left in the family, I was supposed to obey what my parents are instructing me. And he used to take me going to the mosque and pray there. And his intention, my father, was that when he will be retiring, I should took over his position, reading the mosque, reading or instructing my fellow young brother what the Quran teaches about Allah. I used to go to the mosque from that time. But something happens in 1993. In the morning, someone was moving around our village, having a mega sound, announcing that this evening there is the overnight prayer. And on that day, it was 12 October 1993. As a young Muslim, we organized ourselves with my friends, three friends, so that we can go and spend time where the overnight will be conducted. We are not going there to hear the word of God, but just a matter of wasting time because it was so hot. And the temperature on that month was around 50, minus 50. So it was good to us just to go around as a matter of wasting time. When we arrived at the place where the overnight was scheduled, we found that the program has just started. And we see people coming in the front, giving their testimonies, how God saved them, how God is doing in their lives. But to us, it was something, nothing. So the program continues, and it comes the time when people were singing praise and worship. They were praising God, they were glorifying God. And after that, the preacher came in front, start preaching the word of God. And he read 2 books. First he read John chapter 3, verses 16, and also Romans chapter 6, verses 23. The preacher, as he was preaching, of course there were some pastors who knew me better. And the preacher who was preaching there, he came from the northern region and we are in the southern region. He didn't know me. So as he was preaching, it was like someone has told him that, okay, if you want to preach, please, can you concentrate in these sins? There's someone who is doing these sins so that he can know himself that he was a sinner. He preached almost an hour, and whatever he mentioned, whatever sins he mentioned there, it was what I was doing. So after he finished his preaching, there was a time of water call, which people can come in front so that they can repent or confess their sins. During that time, I was feeling something in my heart, forcing me to go in the front of the pastor. But I didn't do so, and it took almost 5 minutes. I started looking at my right-hand side, if I could see someone going in the front of the pastor. but nobody did so. And I turned again to my right hand side, seeing that if there's someone who is going in the front of the pastor, but nobody did so. Suddenly, I was found that I was in the front of the pastor. And he asked me, "What do you want?" I said to him that, "Okay, pastor, I am born in a Muslim family, but whatever you have preached here is what I am doing. So I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ because I know that I am a sinner. And if I can die while I'm in this situation, straight I'm going to hell." And the pastor prayed at me and also read me a prayer of confessing Jesus Christ as my personal savior. After we leave that place, so it was somehow, I have a struggling in my heart. How can I explain it to my father and mother? Because my father was expecting that, okay, if I retire, this man will take over my position. So how can I explain it to my father? It took me almost 3 weeks without disclosing it to my father. So what I was doing that time is that when Friday came, I used to go with my father to the mosque. And when Sunday came, in secret, without my father knowing, I was going to a certain church to attend Sunday service. So I did that almost 3 weeks. And on the third week, the pastor of the church asked me that, "Okay, we have been seeing you coming to attend our church service. So can you give us what you are thinking about?" I said, "Okay, I want to register my name to this church because I received Jesus as my personal savior last week. The moment I disclosed it to the pastor, he started looking to the church headers because they knew my father well because he was a hard man. And he asked me, "Did you explain it to your father that you have received Jesus as your personal savior?" I said, "No, I didn't because I am afraid." The pastor said, "Okay, after the service, we will be coming to your home so that we can sit together with your parents and discuss about this because we know for sure that your father is imam at the mosque and his intention is that you should take his responsibility in the future." I said, "Okay, you are welcome. Come, you will meet us at our house." After an hour, I saw the pastor and three church elders coming down to our house. When I saw them, I ran away because I see that, okay, now I am bringing dishonor to my father. What can I do? It is better that they should discuss it on my absence. Then I went away. When the evening came, I went back to my home. And when I arrived, my mother gave me food. And after supper, father called me. "We have seen the pastor coming here, and he was saying that you have registered your name to the church, and you have received Jesus as your personal savior. Is it true?" I said, "Yes, father, it is true. Why don't you explain it to me?" I was afraid. So from that time, my father said, "Okay, because you have done this, I will no more pay school fees for you. So you should not go to school because nobody will pay school fees for you." I said, "Okay, father, as it is your decision, let it be so that I should not go to school. If the opportunity will come, I'll continue my education. But because it is your decision, let it be as you have said." Then I stopped going to school almost a year. And then after a year, his elder brother came to talk to him that, "Okay, you have punished your child that he should not go to school for almost a year, but nothing has changed him. Please, can you withdraw your decision and continue to pay school fees for him?" He said, "Okay, let me think about it." It took almost a month, and then he called me that, "Okay, you can now go to school. I will pay school fees for you." After 4 months, I was baptized at that church, and I was going to that church. And after 3 years, I was chosen as a deacon on that church. In 1997, is when now the headquarters gave us a form asking someone to go for the Bible College for theology studies. As a newcomer in that church, because there is already young men which I found them there, and they were well educated, I think, okay, this form, it is good for them because they are one of the founders of this church. But it was very amazing to me seeing the pastor coming with the form to me that, okay, Alfred, can you sign this form so that you can go to the Bible College? I said, what about that man? He said, no, we have chosen you to go to Bible College. And I went to the Bible College in 1998. And in 1999, my father passed away when I was at the Bible College. And I graduated in the Bible College in 2000. In 2003, I was ordained as a pastor. And I was ministering in our local area until 2008, when the headquarters transferred me, sending me to another remote area where the majority are Muslim. I was there almost a year ministering among the Muslims, and I praised the Lord that some of the Muslims come to know the Lord because of my witness. So I praised the Lord for that. And after a year, there was an election at the headquarters, so the opportunity came to me, and they elected me as a general secretary. So we are here in Canada just to share with you what God has done to my life and what God is doing to my life, as well as what God is doing to the Church of Evangelical Baptist Church. With that point, that is the end of my testimony. If there is a question, maybe I can answer, but I wish I could now share with you what God is doing with the Church of Evangelical Baptist Church. No question? Yeah. The Church of Evangelical Baptist Church was started in 1973 with the late pastor Matthias Munyewe. It was started like a family church, and he was staying in the remote area, where there is Muslims. But because of the poor communication, he transferred from there to a small town where he established as a headquarters. And it was now in 1984. From 1984, the church has grew up to 300 congregation. And the vision of this late pastor was to reach among the Muslims. And the church, God is using the church to reach the Muslims people. And right now, as I am saying, we have able to establish churches among the Muslims, almost 17 churches right now. But still, there is a challenge because Muslims are hard people. They are hard people to approach. How you can convince them to accept Jesus as their personal savior. Even right now, as I am saying, last year, one of our church was set fire by these Muslims, because the Christianity is growing among the Muslims. So they are afraid that, okay, these people, their church are growing. So in future time, our church, our religion will decline. So let's find the ways how we can hinder them so that they cannot preach the word of God. As the church is growing, as I have already said, we have a Bible college, which we use to train our pastors so that they can go and preach the word of God. But still, there is a challenge for transporting those pastors to go to a certain place where they can minister. Even the headquarters itself has got some challenges. We have 5 different ministries. We have youth ministry. We have children ministry, women's coordinator, men's ministry, and the general secretary is there, the general treasurer is there, the bishop is there. But all these ministries, they are depending on a one motorbike. All these ministries, so for them to work properly, they are depending on one motorbike. So this is a challenge to Evangelical Baptist Church. And it is our prayer that God may provide with other kinds of transport so that each ministry can work properly without dreading that the motorbike is has been taken by someone else. So, brothers and sisters, we are very pleased to be here to share with you that God indeed is doing a good job in Malawi. More Muslims are coming to know Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. I think for sure that Steve, when you'll be here, you will see what the Lord is doing among the Muslims. Thank you very much for paying attention to what I was saying. Thank you.
Moribanji is greeting, is how are you? Moribanji is Chichewa word of all of greeting people. So I'm glad that today you have indeed learned one word, Moribanji. Okay, as my pastor has already said, my name is Steve Kamwana. Kamwana is Chichewa name, it's a child. So, little child is my name. So, I have three children, as Pastor has already said. So, I want to share with you my testimony, how I became a Christian. Indeed, it was on 4 June 1984, when I was 12 years old. By that time, I was going to the church with my parents, but I was not a born again. I was just going to the church, praising God, doing everything as church was supposed to me to do. But still, I was not a Christian. Until when time came, when I heard that at a certain place, there will be a crusade. According to the history, whereby my teacher was teaching me, crusade was like fighting between Muslims and Christians. So as a little boy, I wanted to see this fighting. So I was very interested to go there and see the fighting between Muslims and Christians. But reaching there, indeed, I saw people coming, praising God, sharing their testimony. So I said, this crusade, where are Muslims? So I said, okay, let me just quiet and see what will be coming next. As the time was going, it came a time when the pastor came in front and started preaching the gospel. He preached from Romans chapter 6, verses mainly 23, whereby the wages of sin is death, and the wages of receiving Jesus Christ eternal life. There the preacher preached indeed for a long time. And the message was touched me very much because that time I was sinning. Whatever he was mentioning, I was doing. So I started looking to people. So I noticed that there were three people whom I knew. Then I was thinking that maybe these people, have given information of me to the pastor. So, after finishing his preaching, in my chest, I felt as if someone has, there is fire. I failed to control myself. Then immediately, I was found that I was in the front of the pastor. So he asked me, why have you come here? Then I explained that I want to confess my sins. So he said, go ahead. And I said, no, I don't want to tell you, but I want to tell the audience. So he said, are you courage enough to say? Then I said, yes, I'll say. So I started telling the people what I was being doing. And the room was quiet. After finishing, then tears started coming in my eyes. I was a so sinful person. And the preacher led me a confession prayer. After finishing the confession prayer, I saw that now my body and my soul is free. The meeting ended around 6 p.m. So I traveled by foot a distance of 50 kilometers from my home. So after finishing the meeting, I started singing praising songs, going back home on foot. I reached home around 11 midnight, and my father heard me singing songs. In the area where I was coming from, it was a thick forest with elephants, lions, and all sorts of kind of animals. But I was able to go into those thick forest with him songs. Now, upon reaching to my house, to our home, my father asked me, "What have you done? What has happened to you?" Then I narrated the story, and my father encouraged me that, "Oh, this is good, my son. This is what I've been praying for you. You have chosen a right path." So he encouraged me, and I was very encouraged. Challenge was my grandfather. He was a Catholic person. In the morning, I woke up and I visited him. I narrated the story to him. Then he said, "You are little." And, "I'm little." "You are little. Christianity is for us big people, not like you. You are little." So he put me down. But I took the story to, I reported to my father, and my father encouraged me. Said, "No, don't listen to him. He is a liar. Continue to be like Christian." So I was so encouraged. The following morning, he was pulling me down, but still my father was the one who was encouraging me. I praise God. He passed away in 1996. Indeed, I was shocked to his departure, but I was very thankful because he's with the Lord. This is part of my story. After there, I went to the Bible college. I was supposed to be there for 3 years, but I stayed at the Bible college for 5 years. I started with the certificate, then on the way, I changed the course. I studied a diploma for extra 3 years. There, marked 5 years. Then I said, I clamped my hands that, "Oh, this is over now." I went back home to the headquarters. There, I did not know that the college is processing also for me to go to university. After 3 months, I received a message from the principal of the college that, "Okay, now it's time for you to proceed with your education to the university." "Oh, is it true?" So it was very amazing to me to say that I'm going to the university with theology. I went there, I studied there for 3 years, making 8 years. So I graduated there. I was happy that now I'm full teacher of the gospel. Coming to the headquarters, there they assigned me to take a position to be development coordinator. So, at the college, I did not take these subjects as of development. "Where can I start from?" They said, "Oh, no, this is your position. Take it." So it was a challenge to me. But indeed, I was very thankful that we started with a program which I'll be showing you, Widows Welfare Program. It was a little program. I thank God that God gave us our brothers from Bathroad Baptist. They were sending support so that we can buy goats and do different activity training, widows and leaders. And the program has been going on until today. I thank God that God is faithful indeed. That's why we are here sharing with you what God has been doing in my life. That is my spiritual part and testimony, how I became a Christian. Now, this time, when we were coming from Africa, coming here, we used Ethiopian Airlines, very fastest airline in the world. Now, I want to take you back to Malawi so that we can see happening in the church called Evangelical Baptist Church. This is now a church in mission to Africa, especially Malawi. So, this airline will be flying 10,000 miles per minute. So very soon we'll be in Malawi. Here we are, Africa. Now, Africa, hello, Malawi is found in Africa. It's a small country, about 900 miles from bottom up there, with 60 million people. A lot of people are in Malawi. Why? Because in the past, Mozambique, the bordering country, they were fighting. So more people came to our country. So that's why the population was increased up to that level. We thank God that God has given us a peaceful country. We are clocking 50 years while peace is there. So we thank God. So this is Malawi. Malawi is a beautiful country. You can see that is the sun, that is Lake Malawi. Beautiful mountains, tea plantation. Those are typically traditional houses. There in the water in Lake Malawi, you can find the nice fish, chambo fish, very tasty. It's found there. And the tea plantation are there, southern part. So, here we go. Now, this is where we are coming from. This is our headquarters, where all the departments are working. In my department, as a development program, we have 5 core projects: agriculture and food security, education, HIV/AIDS program, water and sanitation, and relief and emergencies. These are programs in our office. And this program has been going on. Now, one part of our program is widows' warfare program. That gentleman is there, is going to the field. That is the type of transport we use as we go in remote areas whereby cars cannot found. We use pedaling bicycles. That is a bicycle taxi driver driving me into the field. We move in thick forest to reach widows. This program is found in 35 church centers of evangelicals. A center is like an association of different churches of VBCM. There are 10 to 15 churches. They form a center committee. So from that center committee, we choose leaders whom we train how to start a widows club in their areas. We have 35 church centers with 300 churches with 40,000 Christians. We praise God for that. So that is the man going into the field to do activities. So activity number one is training. After electing leaders in those centers, we train them. We train how to start widows club. And in the widows club, we train them how to do Bible studies, how to teach crafts, knitting, microloan bank. We have blessed here with one of the brother who is working at the bank. You know well those terms of loans and other things. We do that program, training widows how to take care of finances. They contribute into their account. And for them to have good security of the money, they have a box. That box has got 3 padlocks of different kinds. So the treasure only keeps the box. The keys are with the members to secure the swindling of the money. So this is what is happening. So they contribute money. If someone feels sick, they take a little money from the cash book and take the person to the hospital. Sometimes they lend each other to do small-scale businesses. I teach them how to make donuts. I wanted to bring you one donut from Africa, but it's a long way. So we teach them. And also we teach them how to take care of goats and other animals. This is what we are doing in now. Activity number one is training. That is one of the training I had in Mozambique. Mozambique is far from our country, so God does not see boundaries. That's why we are in Mozambique. And we are proud of that. Yeah. Now, activity number two, establishment of Widows Club. Now you can see behind the group, there are pastors whom we train them. So they established this group so that it can continue to learn different skills. Now you can see the village saving and loan. This is a microbank activities they do in their club, as I have already explained. In these clubs, we have Christians and non-Christians. Why? God loves us all. And also by doing that, as we share the gospel, some can convert to be Christian. And indeed, we have widows who are Christians from Islamic region. They have come now to be Christians. A very encouraging thing. That side is when you see ladies are contributing money. As I have researched, this program of widows is falling under HIV/AIDS program. Why? In our country, most of husbands are dying because of HIV/AIDS. And some widows are HIV positive. That's why we saw it wise to put it under that, so that our pastors, we train them how to counsel widows who are also positive. 12 widows came to me telling me their status. And one of the widows, that one who sat on the who is on her house, was denied access of drugs, ARV drugs, by the hospital authority. We took initiative to discuss with the hospital authorities, and then she was allowed to take those drugs. And also we gave her a goat. I'm proud people are calling me goat man, because always I carry goats and give the widows. I'm proud of that. So if you call me goat man, that's what I'm happy with. Okay. On top of that, you can see those white animals. Those are pigs. There are some areas where you cannot find goats. But our clubs are there. What we do? We purchase our pigs and give them. We purchase normally 11 goats. One is a male for breeding. If you can buy all females, as a result, the widows cannot benefit. After first offspring, they take one offspring back to the club. And we come and collect this offspring and start another widow's club somewhere. This is what we are doing. It's a revolving program. The same with the pigs. We do the same. As I already said, that we teach them different activities. They are showing what they have been knitting. They are knitting different things. And also, that side is our pastors leading the group of widows in that area. And also, you can see now a widow is happy. Those are the offsprings. And she's able to pay school fees to that gentleman. You can see he's a man, he's a big man. Because he was failing to have school, he was growing old. Then later on, because of a program, he was able to sell the goat. After selling, and able to buy or pay school fees. After selling the goats, they can buy also fertilizers. even food. This is the important, the positive impact of the program. And also, we teach them a water and sanitation program. You can see that lady. My brothers and sisters, we have problems in Malawi with water. Here I was able to see fresh water running up and down. Oh, Canada is blessed with water. Our country also, we have, but we have problems of water, especially during dry season. We are coming to dry season, whereby there is hot area, hot places. Women can go out early in the morning, maybe 2 a.m., to seek water, about 5 to 6 kilometers searching for water. There, they can come back around 11 a.m., sometimes 12 p.m., with a 1 bucket of water. Water, and it is a problem in Malawi. So, you can find that the water is dirty water. For example, that water, animals can come there and drink. People can just pass there and they take that water and drink. So we train them how to make that water be good by boiling. This is what we are normally doing. Normally we're supposed to have boreholes of that kind. That one, as that borehole is not functioning, that's why you see like that. But those things, they are good for, they can provide good water. But because of finances and things, it's difficult to drill such type of boreholes. And also, I have already mentioned that in our program, 5 core programs, we have relief and emergencies. That is one of the relief program we had last year, whereby there was no food. People were just going to the bed with empty stomach. 2 to 3 days. Just only water. Very critical indeed. Well wishers send their money for us to purchase food. And we purchased food and gave. We are happy. That is corn food. We eat maize or corn. So we distributed corn in different Malawi and Mozambique. We did that with my pastor also and other friends down there at the headquarters. Activity number 4 is supervision. After giving the goods, we go and supervise and see the progress of the program. If there are some problems, we sit together with the pastors and also widows and solve the problem. So far, we have 14 clubs. We are looking forward to supply with goods. And we are looking forward so that God can give us funds so that we can purchase of the goats and give these widow clubs so that you can see 300 churches. Now we have 125 clubs. That means the journey is still on. But we wanted to supply with these 14 clubs so that you can see the multiplication of the program so that you can reach each and every church where we are ministering. So we are very thankful for your prayers. Sometimes when you are praying, you say, we pray our brothers in Africa. Maybe you don't know their names, but your prayers, they are bringing positive impact in the country. And your finances, indeed, they are helping poor people in Malawi. We thank God for that. Yeah. As my pastor has already said, we have Bible College. There, so far, we have trained 36 pastors. They are in the field. Mission work, training, preaching, doing different kinds among the Muslims. Though Muslims are aggressive, but they are going there, penetrating with the gospel, so that by the end of this life, we can all receive the crown before our Lord Jesus Christ. So, that one is a lady from Canada. She comes every year to teach English course. This year, she's coming in June, and we are proud for her so that she will continue to teach English. It's a 2-year training. Last year we had a graduation. This year we are taking also 15 students. We have only a place for men. And women are also trying to push us. I'm working there as an acting principal, and I see also the interest of women are coming. What about us? What about us? We want to learn. So I say, we don't have place, a special hostel for them. So we are planning to build a hostel for women, and also this year we are planning to construct a hostel for men. This time they are using the same block, one side as a class, one side as hostel. So it's not good. We want to build that. And also, we have part-time lecturers who are teaching different subjects. We want them to be there. That's why we are planning, it's our prayer that by the end of the period, we want more teachers' houses so that they can be there. We want to reach up to even degree level, because these days, with these issues of technologies, pastors have to be also what? Ahead in their academics. So we are looking forward. But first and foremost, we want God to be in front of us so that everything can be possible. That is now graduation we had last year. And we are just saying bye. We are going to face challenges, but indeed you have equipped us. We are going there and preach, teach, and even also comfort those people who are in need. These are some of the programs we normally doing in Evangelical Baptist Church. I thank you for your listening. Indeed, God has been faithful to us, allowing us to be here. Telling this thing is not an easy thing. We praise God and we thank your support. Continue to pray for us. We need more teachers to come and teach us and teach people at that college. We need more young people to come and do development activities with our program. Malawi is warm heart of Africa. So, thank you very much. Thank you.